Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, today we are concluding chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. If you have a copy of the Bible, paper or electronic, you can go ahead, open it on up. Philippians chapter 1 will be in verse 27 through 30 today. As I said, we're kind of closing out this section. And next week a little bit will be kind of more of a kind of callback review kind of thing. So we'll keep our attention to that. As Paul kind of asked some questions. So today we're kind of going to see what it means to be kingdom citizens, what it means to kind of live in the kingdom of God, what Paul says about that and what his encouragement for the Philippian people is in their church that they are a part of. And then next week, as we open up chapter 2, it's kind of a callback to what I just said, and kind of what was in chapter 1. And we're going to see some questions that Paul asks. And we're kind of going to dive into that. And I'm really excited. And then we'll be on into Holy Week for a portion of chapter 2 as well. And then we're going to do our what we call a rest episode. And I'm excited for what God has brought to mind with that. And it's kind of going to be... like we did a couple years ago, we did a From the Vault series where we went back and we kind of just put together a couple episodes from the past. So I'm excited for that one. We're going to revisit a series that we did a couple years ago, and we're gonna share two episodes in one. So stay tuned for that. I'll have a little bit more about that as time rolls on. But I think it's going to fit in with what we've been talking about here in the book of Philippians. So we started off this letter by looking at the book of Acts and kind of how the church got started and why these people are so important to Paul. We keep seeing that how his love overflows for them, and how he knows that they are trying to do the best that they can, and that he's encouraging them the best that he can, and he's using his own life circumstances and situations to help illustrate how they can see through those illustrations. They can see how they can attack certain situations and circumstances in life, and how they can handle people, and how they can push out the good news of Jesus. And so today, it kind of puts a bow on all of that, because we're going to be looking at Paul starts off by saying, you know, as he starts off by saying, living as citizens of heaven. So other translations use the term kingdom citizen, or you know, something like that. So it's been translated to kind of be worthy of the gospel of Christ, or being in the body of Christ, right? Is kind of what it means to be a kingdom citizen. So we'll start here in chapter 1, verse 27, and it says, above all, so everything that we talked about, kind of everything that we're going to talk about, right, those words, when I read them, kind of says to me a little bit of important, above all. We're looking at the New Living Translation and other things, you know, other kind of translations use this phrasing too, above all, guard your heart. Above all, love each other deeply. Above all, let love guide your life. Like these different things come up, and above all. So it means above all, do the following. So above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that you are going, that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have not been given, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So we're going to talk about that last line a little bit too, as we go in order here, as we have been doing with this paragraph by paragraph, section by section look here. So the first thing, verse 27, it's about conduct. And how we conduct ourselves is big. Jesus even said that to his disciples. It's how you love. It's how you do things. It's how you conduct yourself that people will know that you are my disciples. So the question that comes out to me as I was reading this, and like I said, this is not like a deep, like theological dive into all of this. This is just me reading and seeing what kind of jumps out at me. I do use other study tools and different things like that, but mainly sometimes it's just what stands out at me. What do I feel Paul is saying to me? And I share it with you. So the questions that came up, it says, are we conducting ourselves in a way that shows Jesus? Are we conducting ourselves in a way that shows the fruit of the Spirit? And are we conducting ourselves in a way that show we belong to Jesus? Are we conducting ourselves in a way that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Are we keeping our focus on Jesus that all of those things are embodied in? Are we trying our best to see those things through? And we show that we belong to Jesus. I already said that, right? Jesus said that. The way we act, pretty much how we love each other. Jesus didn't use the words, you know, how you act. He said, how you love, well, this will let people know that you are my disciples. Paul told the Philippians, the church in Philippi, to be good citizens of the kingdom of God. This is the theme he will draw on again. So this is just kind of, that was a commentary note, and it kind of says that later on we're going to see this again, right? And once again, we accomplish this by keeping our focus on Jesus. Paul wanted their unity to be put to a productive purpose so that an increasing trust and belief in the good news of Jesus would be promoted among those who already believed and among those who had yet to believe. So it kind of comes back to conduct shows people that following Jesus is different. And I know that's hard. Like, I can say it all I want to. You know, you've probably heard it said a lot. I've heard it said, but it's easier said than done because we live in a broken, fallen world where it's hard to get along with other people. It's hard to see the good and the bad sometimes. And I know that, and that's why I think that so far this book of Philippians has really been helpful for me. Because how we conduct ourselves shows that following Jesus is different. It shows that because we follow Jesus, we have a different kind of life, different kind of joy, a different kind of love, and all of that stuff. And it shows that to the people outside looking in. And if they look in and they don't see anything different, they see us yelling and screaming at each other and divided over crazy things and all of this stuff, then like they're not going to see the need. Like, well, if it's no different than the way I'm living. And that's what I think Paul is encouraging here. It's like, make sure you're different. You know, yes, you can have your disagreements, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But make sure that we're trying our best You know, when we read these texts, we got to remember, you know, God, like, isn't looking for perfection. God is not looking for us to have it all together and do everything right, because if we could do that, we wouldn't have needed Jesus to begin with. So it's important that we are going to make mistakes. We are going to have days where we have less patience or less joy or less love and less kindness and all of this stuff. We're going to have those days. But Paul is encouraging them to be mindful of their conduct and how they treat each other and how they treat others. Unity happens when we keep our focus on Jesus. So the unity that Paul, being unified, Paul is when we keep our focus on Jesus. We talked a little bit about that last week, and I've hit it on and off over the last year. You know, keeping Jesus the focus. That's our mission around here. That's kind of like our vision, right? Keeping Jesus the focus point. And it really, when you filter that stuff through, it really helps you kind of see what we're supposed to do. Because if Jesus is the model and Jesus is the example, then that is what we should focus these things through. How would Jesus have handled this? What would Jesus have done? Right? The next thing is in verse 28, where it says, do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved, even by God himself. We have Jesus on our side. So the second C here is conquer. And last year, this kind of came out in Joshua chapter 2, when we looked at the journey to the promised land. And when they went into Jericho, they were told that everybody's afraid of you, because God was on their side. They'd heard about the Red Sea thing. They heard about all of these different events that have taken place. And everybody was afraid of them. It even later on in the book of Joshua, throughout Joshua's trek through the promised land, taking over kingdom after kingdom, they become fearful, right? Jericho was shut down and locked tight. And the other kingdoms were fearful of them because they knew the Lord was on Joshua's side. Right? You can say that about Moses. You can say that about David. You can say it about Daniel. You can say it about, you know, anybody else that you want to bring up. Jesus is on our side, and Paul knew that Jesus was on his side. And that's why he said, don't be intimidated by them. Jesus wins in the end, right? That's basically what he's saying. When it comes to our enemies, when we come at our enemies with the mindset of victory, they don't stand a chance. We have great power in Jesus to conquer our enemies. Once again, conduct is important, right? But we've already beaten our enemies because Jesus has beaten them. Jesus has overcome the world. So we don't have to be afraid of them. The enemies have already been destroyed. And I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. That's what he said to me when I read that. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. I immediately went back to our series last year, just actually a few months ago, looking at the series in the book of Joshua. Those are in the archive. You can go check all this out. But when that just jumped out at me. It's like Joshua knew that Jesus was on his side, and he went through the promised land, and he was taking cities and kings and all of that. Because Jesus was there. And Jesus is on our side as well. And the last C comes out of verses 29 and 30. And it says, for you have been given not only the privilege in trusting Christ, but also the privilege in suffering with him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So, in other translations, the word conflict is used. It says in verse 30, the word struggle is translated as conflict. In some of the earlier translations, the New King James, the English Standard Version, ESV, NIV uses the word struggle. Because conflict, I think, back then is what it meant and what it means today, right? Disagreements or just conflict with other people and all of that, right? But as I was thinking about this and kind of studying this, the updated word to struggle indicates that this is kind of like a separate thing. It's not conflict the way we think of it, right? Conflict is, you know, having a, you know, disagreement with our spouse or a friend or a coworker, or having conflict of opinions, right? And disagreements in that way. So the word struggle, I think, fits better because Paul was struggling, right? He knew that they were struggling. And so two types of conflict here is the struggles. Paul was encouraging the Philippian people to handle struggle of life as he did. You know, we've talked about this in other episodes, how Paul handled his conflicts, how Paul handled his struggle in his life. Right. And at the end, it says that, you know, you have seen my struggles in the past and you know I'm in the midst of one. Right. So what he's referring to is the time he was in jail when he was in Philippi and the now that he's in jail. Right. So these struggles that Paul's focus and has remained the same here. Paul's focus is not just, all of this stuff. I've done all this work for Jesus and I'm in jail. We saw it earlier. I'm in chains, but the good news is still being preached. That's what matters. The focus is Jesus. That's what's important. When he was in jail in Philippi, he sang hymns. Paul and Silas sang hymns to Jesus, and the other people were listening. Paul's focus was still spreading the news of Jesus. He calls attention to the actual conflict or the struggles among each other. He addressed this kind of conflict in the earlier portions of this letter, in the opening part, how people deal with their struggles, how it's important to handle them well. Just a verse ago, he called for unity, right? Be united in verse 28, where he says, verse 27, fighting together for the faith, one purpose, one mind, one spirit, all of those things. That's calling for unity. He's calling for that unified front when it comes to this conflict thing. He also encourages them to be overflowing with love and the fruit of the Spirit. That was back earlier on in the verse, earlier on in the letter. So all of this, Paul is just trying to encourage them to be the best kingdom citizens they can be. As kingdom citizens, we should watch how we handle our conflict. We should know that we've already conquered all our enemies and everybody that comes in our way. He's not saying that they're not going to be there, and he's not saying that they're not going to leave marks, right? Because Paul certainly has had marks, scars, if you will, from his conflicts and his struggles throughout his ministry. But also, the idea of conduct. And I think this is God wanting me to kind of circle back to this as I'm sitting here. And all of these things matter. And it really matters to what our focus is, right? How we handle our enemies and how we handle our conflict is so important because it all revolves back to conduct. I'm reminded of a quote from Gandhi that says, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." And for me, that's rang. I heard that, I don't know how many years ago, And it just rings out to me every time I talk about this conflict, every time I hear Jesus talking about how we conduct ourselves is important. And every time I see certain entities and organizations and people, whatever it can be, doing things in the name of Christ that are not like Christ. And it's this idea of conduct and how people handle each other in the church, outside of the church, in their families, and all of this. And like, oh, like I'll go to church all the time and I follow Jesus and all of this stuff. And then they're seen in the parking lot yelling and screaming at their wife or their kids, or, you know, they're seen acting crazy in a line at Walmart or flicking people off or, you know, all of these different things. And it's like, but people, and all the while, sometimes they're wearing a ministry/church-related shirt. And they're this billboard for Jesus while they're yelling and cussing and conducting themselves in a way that isn't like Jesus would do. Right? And that quote, every time I see this or I think this, it's one of those things where I think it helps me realize something. And I'm not trying to bang my own drum and act like I've got this all together and figured out, but I look at these different things and I hope that I don't act that way. And I think that's what Paul's writing here. I think Paul is writing these words that hope that the Philippian people will conduct themselves in a way worthy of the gospel. You can't, you know, oh, Jesus is goodness and mercy and love and kindness and all of this stuff like that, but you're one of the meanest people on the planet. Like, it just doesn't work. People aren't going to believe that. Calling back to a journey in Paul's life, right? Before he was Paul, his name was Saul. And he persecuted Christians. He brought them from their homes and from their towns to be put in jail, even sometimes murdered. And then he meets Jesus, right? And his life changes. But people run him out of town because they don't believe that he's changed. Paul was conducting himself in a different way at this time, but because of all of these things, right? But just kind of like flip-flop it, right? We follow Jesus. We say that we follow Jesus, and we go to church and we tell all these people, but yet we don't act in a way that is worthy of the kingdom of God as kingdom citizens should act. And it's challenging for me because, like I said, sometimes we act like Paul in reverse, right? We have Jesus, but we act like Paul did before Jesus. Maybe we're not murdering people and, you know, bringing people in to be arrested and all of these things, but we're slanderous with our words, we're cutting with our words and the things that we say and how we act and all of that. And that, I think, has really been the challenge for me over the last couple of weeks as I've dwelled on this passage and the next section that we're going to look at. And I just think it's like, I can't understand sometimes, and I start to think more and more like Gandhi. It's like we are supposed to represent Jesus, but instead we sometimes put the weapon out there that, yeah, we follow Jesus, but this is how we act otherwise. And I think people sometimes look at us and they're like, what is the difference in the way you live for Jesus, with Jesus, as followers of Jesus, and the way I live, not even having any attachment to Jesus? And it just rings out in my head, like when I hear Jesus say these things, and every time it comes around, it's like, no wonder people have a problem sometimes. No wonder people like don't understand Jesus, because we're not portraying him correctly. I think nowadays some churches are getting backlash because they are doing that they're trying a different way. Because I grew up, I think, in two different eras of church. you got the traditional way that, you know, hymns and all that stuff and whatnot. And if you're in, you're in, you know, borderline holy huddle kind of environment. Not really anybody new from time, like, it's just, you know, the same people every day, you know, everybody's name, you know, everybody's business and all the dirt and everything like that. Maybe you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, so I'll digress. But as I became an adult, I transitioned into a more, I guess, contemporary, modern church environment that felt more open, right? And they get heat all the time. Different things that they chose to do during that time. Not so much anymore because they've dialed some stuff back, but back in, like, they'd make news with all these different things. Even other churches in the area would slander this church that I go to. And I was baffled by that. It's like, how are we sitting here? Like, we're supposed to be united and we're sitting here bashing each other. That makes zero sense to me. But the traditional way was more closed, I think. And it was more, this is how we are, and we're perfect in here, and you come in here and mess us up. We can't have that. You know, I got that vibe. One of the situations that drove me out of that church was the pastor flat out told me that the only way I was going to volunteer or be a part of the church was when he decided so. Not when I had made myself right with God, not when I felt I was able to, but when he chose. And it was like, why? Like he was sitting back there, like he had committed nothing wrong ever in his life, in his past, and whatever, right? So even conduct inside the church is important. Like, how we act is important. This conduct thing is so important. So that's my encouragement today. Because I've been on both sides of it, maybe you have too, where it's like, these places feel so judgmental to people. Where people go out of their way to see what somebody knew, or if they know a little bit about a person that's come, they go out of their way to dig more and all of that, instead of just loving the person. Jesus never dug too much. Right, you got the woman at the well. He said, you know, hey, you did this and this and this. But then they moved on. He didn't go, so why are you doing that? How come you're doing this? You know, that's not really a good choice. Maybe you should make better decisions. Blah, 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 all this stuff. He never did any of that. The woman caught in adultery. He just told her to go and sin no more. He didn't say, so how many times? When are you going to stop being such an adulterous woman? Well, like, even with his disciples. He called his disciples, who were fishermen and tax collectors, and he just brought them in and showed them love. His conduct matched what he was saying. So that's the encouragement. And I'm gonna stop with all of that. Conduct, conquer, and conflict. How we handle our conflict and our position against our enemies and the different struggles that we have in life. We've already got them beat. Jesus says so. And then all of it points back to how we conduct ourselves in those conflicts with our enemies, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our loved ones, with our kids. All of that stuff is super important. And it all comes back to, that's how we show we belong to Jesus. That's how we show we are kingdom citizens. So I hope this encouraged you. I hope you found something in it that you didn't know before, or whatever. And I hope that I'll see you next week.